Could you build a business that's better for our planet? That's what I have set out to answer. Hi, I'm Marco Pimentel, marketing expert and entrepreneur and host of the podcast, Someone Like You. I become fascinated in finding creative climate solutions in business, and on the podcast, I break down how founders and CEOs are building climate-friendly business solutions that are opportunities for growth while being better for the planet.
Too often we look at climate action as something that is more expensive, right? There's the notion of the green premium, and we associate this with, you know, driving Teslas or getting solar roofs or, you know, high-priced sustainable brands that are using recycling through and through. But a lot of the sustainable actions that we can take in our lives day to day do save us cash. And it's that discovery and creating that transparency that I think is ultimately going to have an even bigger impact.
Heat waves where I'm from in British Columbia, flooding in Europe, pipes freezing in Texas. Clearly our reality with climate change is collectively shifting, and it's happening on a global scale. My guest today is Jean-Louis Warnholz. He's the co-founder and CEO of Future, which is a fintech company that is encouraging carbon action as a smart economic choice by providing its members with incentives and 5% cash back on things like buying secondhand, taking public transit, switching to electric vehicles, and more. Jean-Louis knew he wanted to lower his household's carbon footprint when he first saw hand the impact of climate change when he was working in Kenya and in Ghana. I get to speak with Jean-Louis on why planting trees is not what it's cut out to be, why climate action can start as an individual, attainable shift with the use of the Future Card, and how a sustainable business actually can be built without relying on digital ads. With over 20,000 users in the US and counting, Future is showing us that the fintech industry can be disrupted one recycled plastic card at a time in favor of climate action. I wanted to take a second to tell you about our Season 2 sponsor, Digital Scope. Did you know your website has a carbon footprint? Well, digital technology has a larger carbon footprint than the entire aviation industry, and it's only getting bigger. Digital power consumption is increasing by 9% every year. At this rate, our digital carbon footprint could be responsible for as much as 14% of global emissions by 2040. If you're a digital-first company, or really any company with a website, and want to understand the impact your website is having on the environment, Digital Scope can translate visitor data into carbon measurement, all with a simple one line of code added to your website. Check out digitalscope.com/someone like you. The first 100 people to sign up get free access for an entire year. Jean-Louis, welcome to the show.
Marco, thank you so much for having me.
I would love to just start with your background and just kind of understanding correlation to, you know, building a climate-focused business. And was there a correlation, and kind of how that led you to where you are today?
There definitely was correlation. I would have to be honest and say not an obvious one at all. I actually started out with an atrocious carbon footprint. And I think my passion has really been in emerging markets. I was involved in kind of bringing more investment and more business and then starting companies in emerging markets, particularly across East and West Africa. And so I had a lot of opportunity to spend time in places like Kenya, Ghana, and I've seen really over the years firsthand what the impact of climate change is day to day on people's lives. And I think I realized that everything that I was deeply, deeply passionate about for many years, communities where I've spent ample amount of time, where we've invested millions and millions of dollars, we're really threatened by climate change in a way that I just hadn't fully envisioned, hadn't fully fully computed. And so I've always been really a nerd and really obsessed about markets and market inefficiencies and how they hold people back. And so I decided to kind of take that same obsession to the area of climate change, starting really with my own life and my really very terrible carbon footprint, to figure out, well, how do we get this from terrible to not so terrible and then to much better? And that's really how Future came about.
And when you say, you know, terrible footprint, like what was the kind of underlying, you know, reasons and like what were you starting to try to find out that maybe kind of had that bit of a aha moment to, you know, to say this might be a solution or might be an area that I want to solve?
Yeah, I think the core issue for us was that, you know, carbon and climate just didn't feature in our decision making at all. Right? Whether you think about our diets or how we consume energy or where we travel and how we kind of move around. Carbon just wasn't a thing. It just was not part of the decision making in our household. And I think that dramatically changed. I think once kind of my wife and I realized that, you know, that there are kind of real real challenges, and we started looking at the data much more closely. We realized that not only do we have a comparably very high carbon footprint, but we also realized that there are a number of fairly easy things that we can do as a family to bring that carbon footprint down and do that in a way that often saves us cash along the way. And so that's kind of how we think about Future as well. We kind of constantly create opportunities for you to, you know, get more cash and emit less carbon, and really turning kind of climate action and lowering your carbon footprint into a smart economic choice.
And I love this conversation today, because often when we speak about the broader issue of climate change and the change that we need, you know, a lot of people will touch on the fact that as an individual consumer, oh, you know, consumers can't do anything. But everything that's often made and, you know, we buy to food to everything, all of that is what adds up. And it's a collective of consumers, but collective of consumers is what drives all of the, you know, the consumerism, the creation of all of the fossil fuel needs that we have. So we get to touch on that today with obviously your business. So you what was that, I guess, initial idea for Future? And I guess, you know, maybe from the start, how did you start and how did that kind of come to be?
Yeah. I think the kind of spark was really kind of looking at how hard it is on an individual level to kind of slash your footprint with the right information and the right kind of incentives at play. When we started out, I actually first thought about just planting trees, right? That seemed, you know, logical, and then I started looking into it and did some math with the help of a few kind of climate scientists and activists that I'm friends with, and very quickly realized that actually we needed our own family forest of you know, over 7,500 trees that we would have to plant and then look after or trust that someone else looks after them. And I realized that we're, you know, feeling pretty bad about our carbon footprint, but we're not an anomaly at all. We are, you know, an average American family. And so I think what that for me kind of sparked was really the opportunity to say, look, let's not try to, you know, plant our way out of this and figure out how we can plant over 7,000 trees. Let's just cut carbon dramatically in our own lives. And that's what we did. And I think Future is kind of making that whole process a lot more simple by essentially giving you cash when you cut carbon. And so that's how the business started. And I was fortunate to build a team very, very quickly, starting with Kamal, my co-founder and CTO, who has long had a kind of passion for leveraging technology to really affect change on a large scale, and kind of very quickly shared my passion to leverage technology, but also to leverage economic incentives and financial rewards to create more opportunities for people all across the country to lower their carbon footprint and do that in a way that's great for their wallet as well.
And so is the, you know, the core idea and the core industry that you're trying to disrupt, is it the, you know, is it the fintech sector, or is it the trying to highlight the brands and the brand partnerships for kind of smart spending towards solutions that are more climate friendly than the alternative? So like, you know, what was, or I guess, you know, when you first tried to get your first 100 customers, what was it that you were trying to disrupt as an alternative?
I think for us, it really kind of cuts across both fintech and climate. So, you know, if you think about rewards, right? What traditionally, certainly in the US, but I think the same is true across Canada and Europe as well, what gives you the highest rewards are often things that have a very, very high carbon footprint, right? You get your miles for flying, for traveling, for filling up your tank at the gas station. And as we're thinking about incentivizing consumers to live kind of climate-friendly lifestyles, we basically decided we want to turn this entire notion upside down. So rather than reward you for things that have a very high carbon footprint, we will reward you and give you, you know, major cash back for everything that is better for the planet. So taking the train, using bike share, shopping secondhand for your electronics or your apparel, or trying, you know, alternative proteins at the supermarket. So we constructed a whole basket of everyday consumer choices that are better for the planet, and launched a very, really revolutionary rewards program that is giving you cash every time you shop in a way that's better for the planet.
So, founder, initial idea, how did you, I'm assuming, you know, starting a credit card company with a fully different reward system, that sounds like a daunting, you know, a fintech endeavor. How did you get this off the ground? Was this from family, friends? Was it a venture funding? How did you get that started?
Yeah, so we were able to, I think, secure venture funding after a couple of months of, you know, doing the you know, maxing out our credit cards and leveraging kind of savings to build a business, and have been fortunate, I think, to find advisors who were very kind of steep, very smart in the space, had successfully built rewards programs, and also benefited from, you know, some of the opportunities that Visa in this case has created for younger companies to get smart very, very quickly on kind of an ability to offer robust payment products. And we were able to, I would say, grow kind of fairly rapidly with venture funding, but also leveraging a lot of the tools that exist in the market today to offer payment products that are secure, backed by a strong banking partner, and nimble enough to build products that are really exciting for consumers today.
And how did the brand come to be? Because, you know, if I think a credit card and reward system, it doesn't look like Future. Future seems a lot more. it definitely doesn't. It feels a lot more friendlier. So, like, what was the basis of kind of building that that brand?
So, like, if you look at how many folks across the country experience climate and climate action, I think it's very often through the prism of, you know, telling you a bunch of things that you can't do, right? Or asking you to pay more to offset a flight, or pay more to offset shipping, or round up your purchase to lower your footprint. And so Future wanted to show up in people's lives in a completely different way and really celebrate climate action, and giving you as an individual the opportunity to have real measurable impact and do that in a way that's really, really rewarding for you and your family. And I think the brand had to reflect this, right? So it's very positive. It's very differentiated, right? There's, like, if you look at the actual card, which is made of recycled plastic, you know, there's nothing quite like it out there in the market. And we really wanted to be different, because I think the solution that we're taking to the market is quite different from, you know, your average, you know, debit card or payment product.
And when you had to build the basis, because it it really is a bit of the chicken and the egg scenario with Future, being that you need to have a lot of really great brand partners in order to probably get somebody to use the card and see the value of using that. How did you build out those partnerships? Was it a network of partners that was pre-established, or was it a network of partners that you had to start from number one?
So I think at the core, I think as we looked at our go-to-market strategy, we wanted to create a value proposition that is so exciting to folks that we don't have to spend anything on digital ads to start with. And so we focused on, I think, what was a very simple and compelling value proposition. We would give you, as our member, we would give you lots of opportunities where you can save cash, like great deals if you shop secondhand at brands you didn't even know had a great secondhand marketplace, right? So you could save, 30, 40, sometimes up to 70% on stuff that you're buying. And then we're giving you 5% cash back on top of it. And we're also telling you, look, what you're doing is better for the planet because it's more efficient with resources. It has a lower carbon footprint. So I think it created a very compelling value proposition for our members, which meant that we've been able to grow very quickly all across the country. We're now in every single state. And I think for brands, I think they were used to kind of a consumer product that was often revolving around basically using interchange and card fees for offsets, planting trees or other kind of actions. And for them, I think what was exciting is that there was kind of a new product that showed up and said, hey, you are bringing great innovations to the market that help people live with a lower carbon footprint, right? And we want to reward them for that. We don't want to ask them to pay more. We basically want them to leverage your products, lower their footprint, and get outsized rewards for it. So for the brands that were joining us, I think that was a really interesting narrative. And we've, very early on, were able to convince, Rad Power Bikes and Beck Market and Just Salad and many others to jump on board and help grow this ecosystem.
Yeah, and I'm assuming for the brands, they get a pool of customers that hopefully are potentially aligned with their brand and their brand ethos and what they're doing. For the consumer that has a Future card, is this something where they would just go on their daily lives and then, be able to see where they got the benefit from? And then there is, the program to promote those brands also to encourage them to spend elsewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, for example, you get instant cashback. So you ride the metro in New York or in Atlanta, or you shop at one of 50,000 businesses that we support today, and you instantly see the 5% cashback pop up in the app. You can look at your transactions. You can actually see the carbon footprint of a particular transaction as well. And then we basically run a whole host of promotions, sometimes slightly outrageous, that really champion climate smart actions. So for example, we introduced Transit Tuesday, where all of our members get free rides on local public transport. We launched Electric Thursday, where all of our members that have an electric vehicle, which is a growing number of our members, would actually be able to charge their car for free during the day. And so they're kind of constant promotion that are always finding new ways for you to lower your carbon footprint and earn some extra cash as well. And I think that is really, really important, because I think I fundamentally believe that the real kind of lift for climate action, the real kind of movement to kind of change the kind of how we live our day to day is only going to happen if carbon shows up at the point of transaction, if carbon really has value in our lives and is experienced as something that's truly valuable.
Every week on Someone Like You, we dive into stimulating conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and the likes who are consciously and successfully creating sustainable business solutions for the long haul. Tune in every week for a new inspiring conversation on leading climate solutions. And if you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and a review. Yeah, and it touches pretty much the majority of all of our products that we end up buying. And so I guess, you know, these little touch points that Future provides to their customers allow them to get a bit of an experience throughout their lives that hopefully transcends into change. Because I think often you read a lot about just, you know, solutions that swap from one thing for the next, which is what we absolutely need that. But we also do need change in terms of the way that we consume. And so that's, you know, one thing too, being obviously a card to support the purchase of things. How do you think about the reduction in spending, and, or, you know, obviously you're supporting things like buying things like secondhand, but how does Future, you know, potentially, you know, look into that piece of the equation?
Yeah, I think for now, I think the kind of core focus, I think, for us has been around creating incentives to shift spending to purchases that are better for the planet. So, you know, Beck Market is a great example. You know, my iPhone breaks, I need a new iPhone, right? Is there a great kind of deal for me that is refurbished? Same, I think, on the apparel side. I think a big impact that we've had as a family is actually just buying everything for us and our kids secondhand, right? Our kids don't care. The quality is great. We're saving a ton of money, and we're saving a ton of carbon at the same time. And I think bringing it together in a simple way like this for everybody, I think is really critical. I think as we look at consumption patterns, we are kind of upfront about being thoughtful with your resources. We are deliberately a debit card, so we're not a credit card, which means that we are accessible to almost everyone with very high acceptance rates, which really allows us to kind of show up in, you know, households all across the country, and have a focus on sustainability that really extends beyond just doing what's better for the planet, but also sustainability in the sense of doing what's better for, you know, you and your future and your family and your overall financial health. The core premise of Future is that, you know, doing what's good for your wallet and doing what's good for the planet often go hand in hand. And some of the kind of consumption that we've seen kind of here across the country that is associated with very high carbon is often also associated with kind of spending patterns that sometimes for consumers is not always in the best interest of their overall financial health. And so we're fairly kind of upfront and open about it.
Yeah. And I think that's probably something that as you get more and more customers and as you get more and more data, there's probably gentle nudges that you could probably provide that would be probably quite impactful for those customers.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think what's important to note is that, I mean, 5% cashback, I think, is a lot in kind of rewards terms, especially when you think about debit cards that traditionally don't give you a lot of rewards. But the bigger opportunity, I think, is really looking at climate action as a smart economic choice. So, for example, we launched a partnership with Arcadia around community solar, where we offered our members $100 off their utility bill and up to 10% savings on a monthly basis if they switch to solar. I think too often we look at climate action as something that is more expensive, right? There's the notion of the green premium. and we associate this with, you know, driving Teslas or getting solar roofs or, you know, high-priced sustainable brands that are using recycling through and through. But a lot of the sustainable actions that we can take in our lives day to day do save us cash. And it's that discovery and creating that transparency that I think is ultimately going to have an even bigger impact. Like, I didn't know how much money I could save on my utilities. I didn't know how many thousands of dollars I could save. You know, we have a kind of larger family. We have a kind of school age kids. And just shifting all of that to secondhand, buying brands that we didn't even know had a great secondhand option, was a, you know, massive change for us in terms of our day-to-day household budget. And I think that's going to be the key to shift that lens towards what makes sense for a family economically at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's quite smart because you're at that point of purchase, and so you get to educate and remind and nudge the customer at that point and afterwards, which I think is an amazing ability to drive that awareness. When you got funding, you started to get some of these partners together, you got the brand. How did the initial kind of go to market go? Like what type of customers were the ones that were, you know, eager signing up, and has that changed today? And you know, you mentioned you wanted to build a product that had no digital ads. It spoke for itself. People came, people were referred. Has that still played out to where you are today?
It has, yeah. So we still haven't, since we launched the feature card Visa debit card, we haven't run a single digital ad on, you know, Meta or Google or TikTok, and I think we're sticking with that at least for now. I think what's been amazing to see is that there's really a broad base of members. So we do have a lot of members that, you know, have electric vehicles, and there's a lot of, you know, transactions at Tesla Supercharger or Electrify America. We see a lot of transactions on metro systems across the country, whether it's the, you know, DC Metro or the New York Subway. But we also have members that are basically opting to join Future because even the 1% cashback we give you on everything is a really good deal for their day-to-day shopping. And so it's a deliberately diverse group of members that we've been able to that we've been able to attract, and we've been able to grow really with our partners. And so we show up in different places. So for example, if you are, you know, on VW.com and you're looking to buy a new ID4 electric vehicle, right? Future is showing up there, and we are telling you, you know, here's the impact that you'll have in terms of tons of carbon emissions on the planet by making that choice. We work with Plant Burger, which has a whole host of stores here in the Northeast, and actually work with them to inspire, you know, their customers and kind of folks passing by to, you know, try alternative protein and get rewarded for it. And so we've kind of modeled all of our campaigns to show up where people shop and do that in a way that allows us to meaningfully connect. So we have a team of now 15 that are just doing activations around the country, in colleges and in neighborhoods, at the grocery store, to basically talk to you about Future and ways to save cash and carbon. And I think as we grow, I think we'll have more and more brand partnerships where we will be very visible as their consumers are doing their day-to-day shopping.
Yeah, I think the when looking at Future and the website, and I think that that analogy of rewards for flights or rewards for gasoline, and my mind immediately goes to the pump, and looking at that sign above, it's often a Visa or MasterCard getting X amount back. So I'm sure partners and placing Future there will be an important piece to kind of scale the customer base.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you've seen this with, you know, PayPal. I mean, you kind of check out anywhere today, right? You'll likely see PayPal, Affirm, Klarna, Afterpay, and others. And I think kind of these merchant-based distribution channels, I think, are quite effective, especially if you have a value proposition that is really differentiated and something that consumers don't see every day, and something that in real kind of money terms is creating value for them every day. And so I think that's how Future wants to be positioned. And I think what we're realizing is that if you don't invest in kind of digital ads, if you think about customer acquisition differently, there's actually a lot that you can do. Like the Transit Tuesday, for example, right? It's a big deal to get free rides for the whole day. It got picked up by newspapers. It got picked up by metro systems across the country, who were like, okay, we want to bring people back on the metro, especially after COVID. And, you know, here's a card that gives everyone free metro rides for the day. That's pretty cool. And so there's a lot of opportunity once you look at, you know, how you budget as a business and how you think about acquiring members and growing, that you can do if you're not automatically kind of going for the more traditional channels.
We've had a few guests, and one that kind of comes to mind was Ben Nyland, who's the CEO of Loop, which is hydrogen energy, and he's been in clean tech for almost 20 years, and he noted how noticeable the market has changed, where, you know, they were pushing changes and like this solution to people, and it would be so hard to get anybody excited, and now the market is flooded, and he's, you know, there's so many people and interest in customers, which is what we need, and it's still not where we need it to be. But has that surprised you as well with Future, in terms of just, you know, the overwhelming support by its customers, by its partners? And has that been something that's been, you know, a positive for when you kind of went to market?
Yeah, so I'll be honest with you. I mean, I didn't anticipate when we launched this, how kind of how quickly climate would dominate headlines, you know, both, you know, news headlines, but also headlines in like day-to-day conversations, right? There's the neighbor who has to replace his gutters because the gutters are too small because the rainfall has gotten out of hand. There's, you know, a couple that actually moved from the West Coast because they were worried about the health impact of the kind of wildfires and overall air quality on their kid. And so it's been kind of surprising to me how prevalent I think climate has become. Just if you look at the trajectory over the last 2 years, I think sadly, of course, that is because, you know, there are more and more kind of extreme weather situations, floods and the like that are happening, that I think have changed the conversation in dramatic ways. Like if you think about, you know, the heat wave in Seattle and, you know, parts of British Columbia, as well as I remember, if you think about freezing pipes in Texas, or, you know, the deluge that happened in parts of Europe a summer ago. I think as those become more frequent, I think the collective focus on climate is really shifting. We also are getting much fewer people that, you know, hate what we do. I mean, I don't know, that's not a scientific statement or indication, but I think when we started, you know, we attracted a fair amount of folks that, you know, thought anything to do with climate was, you know, not great. That has almost died down entirely in just the last kind of 18 months or so. That's obviously not a scientific observation, but something that I think, you know, we don't see anymore across our social media channels or even my kind of personal inbox that has really died down a lot, because I think climate has just been understood as, you know, a threat that's real. I think there's still a lot of debate about, you know, how we best go about in kind of cutting carbon from our daily lives. But I think the overall threat of climate change is pretty broadly appreciated now.
And if we think about the next, you know, 3 or 5 years, what's next for future? So what's the kind of the plan to get this into more hands? Is it expanding, you know, location? Is it expanding on partnerships? Will that will naturally bring in potentially more customers? What's on the roadmap for you in future?
Yeah, so future is, you know, looking forward to, you know, being in millions of homes to inspire families and individuals to, you know, make choices that are good for the planet and good for their wallet, and I think the way we go about doing this is focusing on a lot of kind of word of mouth, is working with a number of partners, some of whom I can't announce yet, that have really massive distribution channels, and that are interested in kind of working with Future, you know, just like Volkswagen has done, to translate the impact of purchases on the planet in a new way and offer rewards if you lower your carbon footprint. And so, you know, you've had a few examples, I think, over the last few years of companies that, you know, provided a very specific use case, a very specific utility that have been able to grow very, very rapidly. And, you know, my hope is, and certainly what we've seen to date, is that the way Future is positioned in the market is with a differentiated, meaningful value proposition. And I hope that kind of gets us the opportunity to just inspire millions and millions of people to think about their spending differently.
Well, speaking of inspiring, I'm a fan of the book The Lorax, which is Dr. Seuss's cautionary tale about, yeah, you know, what one person did to the environment. And but what would be, you know, thinking about that book and the premise of this kind of like, you are in control, you know, you kind of have this seed at the end, and what would you do? What would be your advice to, you know, entrepreneurs and the likes kind of wanting to get involved now in climate or the sustainability space?
I think it's constantly kind of reevaluating and really kind of thinking deeply about impact, right? Both the intended impact and sometimes the unintended impact as well, and how that can appear, and so I think that's something that, you know, Future is doing on a regular basis, right? Every campaign we launch, every time we think about introducing you know, new partners or a new feature and initiative, I think we're always looking at, you know, what is the intended outcome, and then what are the kind of things that could go wrong and create unintended consequences. I think that's key. And I think, you know, without kind of, you know, naming names, but I think we've seen countless companies that I think started with lofty ambitions and have ultimately not been able to to realize that impact in the market for a whole host of reasons.
So where can listeners find you and Future, and where can they learn a little bit more about what you're doing?
Yeah, so you can kind of find us across all social media at the Future Card or at future.green, or putting a Future Card into your browser, and, you know, it will pop up almost everywhere, which has been nice to see.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. Congratulations to you and your team for building what you've built so far and challenging the status quo. And so I'm excited to follow your journey, and I hope everybody gets a chance to check out what you're doing. And thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, it's been wonderful to be on the show. So Marco, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for starting this podcast series and kind of shining a light on Future and many other companies like us.
Yeah, well, it's the entrepreneurs like you that's are often against a host of challenges. So it's nice to be able to share a story that of meaning and hopefully people cheer you on. So thanks again.
Thank you.
This podcast is co-produced with The Brand is Female. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Someone Like You. And if you did, please share this. We're a new podcast, and I would love it if you could share it with a family member, friend, colleague, work colleague, share it on Slack, whoever you do, just share and spread the message of these incredible brands. Please also support these type of companies. They're doing the hard thing, and the hard thing often takes a lot of people to get on board. And don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. I'm Marco Pimentel. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Someone Like You, you can find us on Instagram at Someone Like You Podcast with all the links to the podcast, our website, and more information about the brands that we feature. Thank you again.